morning, everyone, and welcome to BBTV. This morning, there is only one place to start: geopolitics and consequently the impact of such on bond valuations. To make sure we get the latest insights, I'm joined this morning by fund manager Dr. Wolfgang Bauer. Good morning, Wolfgang.
Good morning, Mario.
Before we dive into the exciting world of bond valuations, let's quickly recap Russia-related news. So earlier this week, we have seen a new round of Russian sanctions. And unlike the prior sanctions, this is the first time existing bonds of a Russian corporate issuer will be subject to forced selling by US investors. This has led to a material repricing of Russian assets, sending the ruble down sharply and letting Russian bond yields spike. The sell-off was also intensified by a potential escalation of tensions over Syria, an ally of Russia. And indeed, last Friday night, we saw coordinated airstrikes targeting three chemical weapon sites in Syria. While Western leaders call it a limited strike with clear boundaries and a one-time shot, Russia's reaction remains to be seen. Today, we should also get the announcement of other sanctioned companies, so expect continued volatility for Russian assets this week. Now, Wolfgang, Russian assets remain under pressure, but have we seen any knock-on effects on other risk assets in bond markets?
Well, I mean, despite the heightened geopolitical tensions that you were referring to, risk assets in general, from investment-grade credit to the more higher beta asset classes, such as high-yield corporates and subordinated financials, they have actually had a pretty good run in April, last week in particular. Of course, they haven't fully recovered from the sell-off in February and March to a large extent, so many segments of the credit markets are still trading at wider credit spreads than at the beginning of the year. U.S. high yield is a bit of an exception, where we actually have seen year-to-date a compression of spread. But I think in general, the mood in the market and the appetite for risk has clearly improved recently. And I think the main reason for that is that the worries about a potential escalation of a trade war between China and the United States have somewhat eased off, at least for now. So last week we heard both the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, and also Yi Gang, the governor of the People's Bank of China, they offered a considerably conciliatory tone in speeches that they gave. They, for example, highlighted plans to increase imports into China and to further opening up the Chinese financial system, amongst other things. So I think that has clearly helped. And then worries of investors around the U.S. technology sector has also somehow subsided after the questioning of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg in front of the Senate was arguably a lot less intense than many had anticipated. So I think these two factors clearly supported the rally in risk assets. Mm.
So you were mentioning the two headwinds, privacy data concerns of the tech sector, and then the trade dispute between U.S. and China. Both have eased, definitely, of late, but then the other major headwind triggering the February sell-off this year is U.S. inflation. And what's your view on the latest data releases out last week?
Well, I think inflationary pressures in the U.S. have been building up for a long time, which is not particularly surprising given that the growth in the U.S. have been really strong and the labor market is really tight. But for the most part of 2017, the core consumer price index has essentially been held back by a one-time effect coming from mobile phone service costs. So this one-off effect has now rolled out of the annual data, and consequently that drag on core CPI has been removed, and the latest release was then again jumping up to 2.1% on a year-on-year basis. If you look in a quarter-on-quarter annualized basis, the number gets even more impressive and is essentially the highest reading in a decade. So I think inflationary pressures in the U.S. economy are real. The Federal Reserve is going to continue hiking interest rates. In addition, the supply dynamics for U.S. treasuries are pretty unfavorable going forward. And also the yield curve in the U.S. is very, very flat. So as an investor, you don't benefit that much from a roll-down effect. Taking all of these things together, that makes me position myself pretty defensively when it comes to U.S. interest rate duration.
Mm, makes perfectly sense. So let's touch very briefly on the week ahead. Mm-hmm. So we're in earnings seasons again. Mm-hmm. Are there any companies to which you're paying attention in particular?
Well, for instance, I'm keeping a close eye on the big U.S. banks. A couple of them have already reported earnings on Friday. more are going to follow this week. And I think it's very interesting to see how market volatility in the first quarter and also the general rise in the interest rate environment in the US are impacting their numbers.
Okay, thank you very much, Wolfgang. So this brings us to the end of this week's episode already. Thanks very much for tuning in and have a good week ahead.